Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
Our baby boy got married off yesterday, so it's going to be quiet around the old Ayers house. Empty nesters, any of you that are already there, we've joined the ranks. And like Tammy said, we're boring people now. We'll go to bed at 9 o'clock probably and start that deal. But had a good day yesterday, and we're excited for them. I've been dubbed Chief Longwind or something by some of my associate pastors. Now, today it may be Chief Shortwind. I don't know. We're going to see how it goes. But we're so glad to have all of you with us today. Does it feel good to kind of all be together a little bit? Yeah. It's good. We've been missing this, haven't we? Been missing seeing each other. And I know we got to try to respect each other and the distancing thing. But, you know, if you want to love on somebody and they're okay with you loving on them, you know what I mean. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be together with you. And I'm excited that things are progressing the way they are. And we're hopefully going to be back to some sense of normalcy. And we will be able to institute some of our other activities, hopefully in the near future, Sunday school and Wednesday night classes and food, you know. So we'll get to all those things. But this is a sight that I've longed to see right here. This is something we've looked forward to for maybe, 7-8 weeks. We had some two services going for a little while, and that was even awkward a little bit, you know. But it's so good to have everybody here with us today. So we're going to be in the book of Timothy. We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And if you've got that, or you've got the app, it's on the app, or you got the Bible on your phone, whatever. If you'll stand with us, we're going to look through a few verses of Scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to look beginning in verse number 12 down through verse number 16. This is going to be very familiar to all of you. You've probably heard them preached and taught a lot over the years. Verse number 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, which is love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Father, we're thankful for this word and this instruction that Paul was able to pass on to young Timothy, and the experiences they had together, God, as they shared with one another, as young Timothy ministered unto Paul and sat at his feet and listened and gained that knowledge and understanding about your word and who you are. And it empowered him, God, and it strengthened him that he could serve you in the capacity you called him to serve. We pray that we also could gain that strength, that knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your word, God, that we could be ministers just as Timothy became, great for the kingdom of God. I ask your forgiveness of our sins. Forgive me and cleanse me of my unrighteousness, God, and may you be glorified and lifted up in this service today as you already have been. I pray, God, that you're lifted up and you're exalted. We're thankful to be together in your house. God, we're thankful that you've blessed and you've brought your healing hands and you brought us to this moment that we can collectively come into your house and worship together. It's good to be here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We pray your many blessings in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You may be seated. We're basically going to look at that one verse of Scripture, verse number 12, which I think is big because it talks about the word despise. And when he talks about despise, you've got to keep in mind what's going on here. You've got Paul, who has, I mean, he's not only well-versed in the Old Testament, but he is a scholar. He is a Hebrew of Hebrews, and he knows all there is to know about the law. He understands the commandments, and he knows all those intricate details about the Word of God and His commandments and His statutes. So you've got Paul, well-educated man, one of the most educated men of his day. And so he's out here traveling, and he sees this young man, Timothy. Timothy, raised by his mother and grandmother, believers in the Lord. He comes to knowledge of Christ and becomes a believer. And so he walks with with Paul, and he's able to gain a lot of knowledge from Paul. And he's able to sit and listen to him as he preaches, when he shares about what God has done through the Old Testament, how God led his people, delivered his people. And he sees how Paul's able to bring those Old Testament stories and bring them into the moment of the time that they're living into. And it's almost like a light bulb moment for Timothy. He's seeing all these things that Paul is sharing and relating to in the old covenant that God made with Israel. And he's seeing a lot of those things being fulfilled in Christ. So he's just like a kid eating candy. He's taking it all in. And so Timothy, as he's watching all these things, I don't know if he's expecting there to come a day that Paul's not going to be around. But there is a day eventually that Paul's not going to be around. And Timothy's going to be called on to continue the work. No, I'm not fixing to resign or retire or whatever. Don't think that. Paul may have left. David's not leaving. I'm staying here. But so Timothy was hanging on every word that he said. He was trying to gain all this knowledge and understanding. And Paul knew there was going to come a day when I'm going to be taken to prison for the last time. Not going to be able to get back out. Probably going to die there. So he's doing everything he can to prepare young Timothy to get ready for this ministry. And so when he wrote this first letter to Timothy, he wrote two. The second one deals with a little bit more sensitive words and what Paul really wanted to say to Timothy as his final letter to him. But in 1 Timothy, he's writing this letter to bring this encouragement to Timothy about who Timothy was in Christ. We need to be comforted by who we are in Jesus Christ. So when he says to him, let no man despise your youth. The word despise is what I want to look at. There's a couple of different meanings that we have for despise. There are others that we could bring into play, but these are the two basic definitions of despise. It means to think little of. In other words, if we're going to despise somebody, we're going to think little of them. When somebody despises you, or if you've ever despised anyone, you've thought very little of them. Or also it means to think against. So to despise somebody means I can think very little of you, or I can think against you, or I can be almost angry or almost hate you if I'm going to despise you. So that's what he's talking about here. He said, Timothy, let nobody think little of you or think against you in regard to your youth. Now, we got to stop a minute, and we got to time out and consider what he's trying to say here. We know that he said, don't let anybody despise you. How can I keep you from thinking little of me? I can't really do that, can I? I can't really keep you from thinking against me. So what Paul is saying is not really making sense to us as we read it, because he's saying, don't let anybody think bad toward you or think against you or think little of you because you're being a young man. We can't control the thoughts of others. We can't control the actions of others. So what is Paul really trying to say there? Paul's really saying to Timothy, Timothy, don't let your youth be something that hinders you because of what other people may think of you. Don't let that despise of you be something that hinders what God's trying His best to do in your life. So I want to look at a few things that perhaps you've been despised for. Maybe you've been thought, somebody's thought against you because of these things. Maybe somebody's thought little of you because of these things. And the very first one is what Timothy dealt with, his age. I want to read a verse of Scripture out of 2 Chronicles 24, and 1. It says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zebiah of Beersheba. You got a 7-year-old kid who is king, And according to the bloodline, you know, his father died, and he's going to assume rule there, which, by the way, that's a whole nother story that we don't have time to elaborate on. I even thought about maybe preaching on Joash a little bit next week. I got fired up studying about him. We may go there. But as far as his situation, just think about a kid being 7 years old and being thrust into this position of being king. So what does he know? He don't know really anything. One thing we do know is that as a 7-year-old kid, he had spent the bulk of those 7 years in the house of God under the leadership of Jehoiada, I believe, who was the high priest at the time, under his protection because there were people who wanted him dead. So he was protected. He was learning about God. So when he became, when it officially, they brought him out and said, here is your king. He's the only one of the bloodline that's alive, and so he's going to be the next king. At 7 years old, what do you imagine the first thing that 7-year-old kid wanted to do? He wanted to increase candy production. He wanted an ice cream machine in every house. What? I heard that. I heard that from an ogle back here in the back, I believe. What? I mean, if I were a 7-year-old kid and I was king, can you imagine what I would want to do? I mean, I would have all kinds of, I mean, even right now at 55, I got a lot of great ideas rolling around if I were in charge, and they're very childish in my mind. But what did he want to do? Here's what he wanted to do at 7 years old. He said, the house of God is a shambles. It needs to be fixed up. I'm going to set a chest out here outside of the house of God. I'm going to let people come and drop money in it. All the money that's brought in, we're going to give it to people. We're going to repair the house of God. How many 7-year-old kids want to repair the house of God? This one did. Why? Well, for one reason, he was surrounded by the Word of God. He was under the right influences. And I think of something else cool that can happen at 7 years old that happened to me when I was 7. I got saved at 7 years old. Don't let anybody despise you and think you're too young to get saved if you're 7 years old, if you're a kid. Don't let anybody despise you, your age, because they may think you're not able to do that. Or they think maybe what you've got to say is not important because you're a kid and it's not relevant. Don't make people think lesser of you than God knows about you. Don't let people despise you or think against you, or cause that to affect you because you're young. Think of all the amazing things that young people and their creative minds are able to accomplish. Think about the things that God has done when He's used young people to do amazing and wonderful things. A 7-year-old kid transformed the house of God in amazing fashion. A 7-year-old kid. Is it possible for children to make an impact on the kingdom of God? You better know it's impossible, and because they are. To see kids get up and to give a testimony for the Lord, to see a youngster get up and stand and sing a song honoring Jesus Christ, or to see them acting in a play or whatever it is they might do. And I'm going to tell you something. I can come up and hug you, and you can maybe appreciate it. But you let a kid on their own choice come up and express affection toward you, that does something to you, doesn't it? I'm going to tell you something. Kids have a power that us older people don't have. They have an ability and an influence that I have lost now because I'm no longer a kid. Let nobody despise your youth or your age or think you're not old enough. Well, you're just not old enough to be in the Word long enough to be able to share this or to share that or to do that. You can't stand before people and talk about the Lord. You don't know enough about the Bible. Listen, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the only thing that really you need to be qualified to share about Jesus Christ. Because I think all of us, once we've been saved, have been called and commissioned and set aside to share that gospel and that good news of Jesus Christ. Now, it may not always be behind a pulpit. It may not be pastoring a church. I think some of those individual callings have some expectations with them, some not necessarily requirements, but expectations. I believe you do need to be in the Word a while before you are able to stand and pastor a church. You need to have that time to meditate with God and prepare your heart and mind for those kind of things. But my goodness, to be able to stand and declare God loves you. You don't have to be a certain age to do that. And I'm going to tell you, to see these kids stand up here and sing, Jesus loves me. I mean, doesn't it do something to your heart when you see these kids expressing who Jesus is? And my prayer is that they're not going to feel despised and they're not going to be hurt and offended when folks may think little of them, but that they'll continue to have that zeal. And I hope that as you grow, as our children grow, as our youth grow, that you'll continue to have that strength and that excitement for God and who He is in you. Don't let anybody despise your age. Let's flip the coin. What about us old people? Amen. I'm a classic. I'm a clove classic. So what about us older people? Are we despised now because we're old? Are we sent out to pasture because we're old and we're decrepit and we're not able to do anything anymore? Hey, don't let anybody despise you either. Moses was about 80 when he went back to Egypt, wasn't he? I mean, he spent some time, didn't he? 40 years in Egypt, 40 years out of Egypt. Then he came back to Egypt, 40 more years. I mean, the guy was ancient, but God had a great calling for him in his life. So I think about, and I know that the age and the age span was not as long today as it was back then. I completely understand that. So maybe, I don't know what the age would be equivalent to it is. And I also think about Noah was what, like 600 or something? I mean, that's just ridiculous. But I am going to say this. As long as there's breath in your body, there's the ability to glorify Jesus Christ. As we get older, folks may not think we're as in tune anymore. If you still got a flip phone, don't think you're not important to the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. And I know a bunch of people got them flip phones, baby. Don't think you're an old fogey and you're out of touch. Don't you let anybody despise you because you may be technically challenged when it comes to these apps and those kind of things. You don't have to please anybody except one, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't think as we get older that we are less useful to the kingdom of God, because I'm going to tell you something. I've been around some folks who are older than I. I'm not going to call them old, but they're older than I am. I've been around some of those folks, and I've heard them pray, and I'm going to tell you something. You don't just come out of the gate praying like that. Amen. Hey, you got to mature to be able to pray how some of these amazing saints of God pray. I mean, they get down and they get a hold of heaven. Yeah, I mean, when I hear them, I almost see the doors opening up and God's listening to what they got to say. I'm going to tell you something. There's power that comes with age. There's some strength that we gain as we mature in the Lord. And who better to train these young people to not be despised by their young age than these older folks who are not feeling despised because of their age. Wow, it's amazing how God put all that together, isn't it? Don't you let anybody, Paul's basically saying to Timothy, don't you let anybody despise you for your age, because I'm not going to let them despise me for my age. I'm going to keep on keeping on for whatever God has for me. All right, the next one is don't let anybody despise your number. John 6:9 says, there was a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Have you ever thought you didn't have the number to pull it off? Have you ever thought you didn't have enough people to bring it together? What are we going to do with five and two? What are we going to do with five loaves, two fish? There's no way that's going to feed this many people. And we're not really even exaggerating when we say that, right? You know, even when you order pizza, you count up how many slices. How many times have you done that, Scotty? I mean, you can do. He can do it in his head. He's ordered pizzas so many times for the kids. We know how many kids we got, how many they're going to eat, blah, blah, blah. And then what do? We order like three, four extra, for those hefty boys.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So you got to make sure we have enough. Yeah. It's not rocket science to say five loaves and two fish are not going to feed 5,000 plus people. We know that. It's okay for us to think realistically. But don't be despised into limiting the power of God. See, they forgot who they're with. Who was standing in the midst with them? Jesus was there. Anytime we're with him, we got to remember the number and the amount is basically irrelevant. God has a way of making a massive army out of how many? How many did Gideon have? 300 against thousands down there. Those 300 scattered on the hillside with those lamps and screaming and all that kind of stuff, they scared thousands of soldiers to death. 300 people. Don't tell me God can't handle it if we have a small number. I thought about when we just been at the church barely a year and started talking about Camp Cove, getting Camp Cove kicked off and what it was going to be like. It was going to be a ministry to these kids, bringing them in from school. And then what did God do? He brought in a couple of hundred kids over there. Oh, my goodness. I'm still tired thinking about that. You know, the first year we had it, what were we thinking? We invited them from kindergarten all the way to senior in high school in that little building over there. What were we thinking? We didn't know if we had enough people to pull that off. How are we going to minister to those kids? How are we going to make it possible to have enough food? How the floor's going to hold up in the sanctuary when they start jumping and bouncing to those songs? But I'm going to tell you something. God took the small number that we had, and God blessed it just like he blessed that bread and that fish. And he made a way. He made a way. Every time we see those kids come in and I'd look in there, you know what there always was? There was always enough people working in every station to pull off everything we did. I don't even know how many years we've done that yet. My mind's gone now, but we've done it a lot of years, almost as many years as I've been here. It's been an amazing thing to see how God can take a small church and be able to minister to hundreds of kids. And we saw those kids get saved. We've seen them come to knowledge of Jesus Christ. When Elijah was called of God to go up on Mount Carmel, he didn't have an army to go with him. He went by himself. And he marched up on Carmel against, like 850 prophets or something? Amazing number of folks. He also had the king up there in opposition of him. Then he also had all of Israel down at the bottom, gathered around the base of that mountain. Everybody hated him. Everybody was in opposition of him. Nobody cared for Elijah and what he had to say. He's the only man that was in public that day. There were those that believed in God. He's the only one standing on the mountain that day proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord," and challenging all those prophets of Baal. And I'm thinking, wow, would I have the courage to do that? Would I have the strength to stand by myself? Even though he was a little bit reluctant in his life at times, we know that. Nevertheless, Elijah stood on that mountain that day and declared, "Thus saith the Lord." Wow. To stand by yourself. What does the Bible say? If there's two or more gathered, where is he? There I am right there in the midst. Never think that we don't have enough in our number to accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. Because if he's with us, it doesn't matter what opposition we have, does it? The number is always going to be enough. Next, let's look at our situation. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19. The men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground is barren. They're saying everything seems to be good in our city. You know, we got plenty of people coming in, and we're prospering. The problem is we got a water issue. The water here is not good for us to drink. It's causing people to be sick. It's causing people to die. Animals are dying, you know, and that's the situation is good except for that. We don't need to let people despise our situation. You may be in dire straits. You may be in a tough situation today. You may be struggling at home. You may be struggling at work. You might be just struggling within yourself today. I don't know emotionally where you're at. I don't know if you're in a good place. I don't know if you suffer with anxiety as I do. Maybe you've had a flare-up. I don't know if you deal with depression. I don't know if you have outside influences that come into your life and despise you. And because of the situation you're in, because of the circumstances that have surrounded your life, you're in a tough spot today. I don't know if your youngest child just got married yesterday and you're an empty nester and you're a little bit sad. I don't know where you're at, but don't be despised because of the situation that you're in. Make the most and the best out of the situation that you're in. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are going to be circumstances come in our life. We know, obviously, they're beyond our control. There are going to be things that are going to happen to us. Just because of a chain of events, we're going to find ourselves somewhere, and we've got to decide and choose, what am I going to do about the situation I'm in? What am I going to do? Daniel found himself basically a slave and a prisoner taken out of his home. And so what did Daniel decide to do? He said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pray every day. I'm going to pray like I normally do, three times a day. I'm going to continue to do what I've always done. My life's not going to change. I'm not going to let my circumstances or my situation despise me and cause me to change where I believe God is in my life. You ever hit rock bottom? Get mad at God because you hit rock bottom? Yeah. Go ahead and admit it. We've all done it. We get upset at God because things don't go the way they ought to with us. You ever serve God and be obedient to God and do the best you can to honor Him, and then something goes haywire? What do? We get mad at God. God, I'm just trying to serve you. Why did you allow this to happen? Whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever's going on in your life, you're the one that's going to make a choice what's going to happen due to the circumstances. Am I going to choose to just have a pity party and be in misery because of the situation I'm in? Or am I going to choose to hang on to God? Am I going to choose to do something about the situation I'm in? That lady was about to die bleeding to death. And she finally decided, I'm going to get a hold of Jesus. I'm going to get a hold of Him. I don't know what He's going to do, but I know He is the only hope I have in my situation. In your situation today, you have one hope and one hope only, and that is getting a hold of Jesus Christ. Don't be despised by the situation that you're in, but hang on to Jesus Christ. And I saved this one for last because I think this affects all of us. Don't let anybody despise you because of your past. Who don't have a past? A newborn, maybe? I don't know. They still have a past, don't they? Just hadn't had a lot of time to do a lot of wrong stuff. But don't let anybody despise you because of your past. Philippians 3:13-14 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What did Scotty say? Man, it always works out that way, don't it, brother? Reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've all got a past. We've all got things that we regret doing in our life. if we could go back and change those things, do the best we can to make amends for some of those things that we've done. If it's possible, if it's under that leadership of God, do what we can to reconcile. He said, if you come to bring alms or bring an offering, and you remember that your brother is mad at you over something, go back and make amends with him. Ask for forgiveness before you come and bring that offering. So I'm not saying just leave everything in the past and forget about it and just move on. God will lead us and guide us in those things that we need to be proactive on in regard to our past. But what I'm sharing with you today about despise is because we have been sinful in the past and we have just failed God and we failed people that we love. But yet today we find ourselves humbled before the Lord and desiring to do His will. Don't let our past, though checkered it may be, don't let it despise us into thinking we can't be better than that, because we can be better than that. You can be better than that if Jesus Christ is in your heart. If you and I know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, we can rise above our past and we can become something beautiful for the kingdom of God. Yeah, I know we all have them. Some of the things in our past we're proud of, and we're thankful for and we're excited about. Some things not so much. So either way, either the good things or the bad things, don't let your past control you. And don't let it despise you to think that, well, now I'm wearing a bullseye on me now. I'm labeled the rest of my life, that old sinner, because of what I've done. Remember that when God forgives us, what He does with our sins, He casts them, doesn't He? East to west, that sea of forgetfulness that the Word of God talks about. God's not going to bring those back to our mind. He desires us to put our hands to the plow and go forward. Amen. We've got to choose that as well and not let our past despise us. I don't know where you're at today with God, and I don't know what areas of your life you may feel despised today. It may be your age. It may be your number. It may be your situation. It may just be your past. It may be something else we've not touched on. But whatever it is that you feel despised today, don't be despised, because Jesus Christ doesn't despise you. He loves you, and He wants to save you if you're not saved, and He wants to use you if you are saved. Stand with us today. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to get ready for our invitation song. Our Father in heaven, we come to you today. Thank you so much for Paul sharing with Timothy, let no man despise you. God, because we know you don't despise us today. We know you love us. We know you love us deeply. We know, God, that you love us so much that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for our sins. God, we pray that whatever's going on in the hearts of your people today, whatever despise they may feel, God, that we pray, God, that you will bring strength to them today. Bring them to this old altar, God, to get their hearts right with you. And give us the strength we need to go out and conquer the world for you, Jesus, and for your kingdom. Forgive us of our sins and when we fail you, God. And thank you so much for just loving us. These things we pray in the holy name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You come while they sing.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcbc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.